We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Hey, well, I'm about that action, boss.
Take him out! This is the morning roast on 95.7 The Game.
You know what? As we say good morning to everybody out there on the roadways, getting off your graveyard shifts, if you're at work, if you're getting ready for work, good morning to you on YouTube, Twitch, and the Xfinity Mobile text line. Of course, subscribe to us on YouTube and Twitch. We love you. Like us, love us. Do what you got to do if you want to stream us there. 6925, before we get Chris Rose on. 925, I like this idea. Could you two start a podcast that talks about random topics each day? Let us call it, text, and change topics so each day is different. I'm not bad at that. Maybe we'll do that podcast instead of the 415ers that has, like, how many episodes?
Why don't we just rebrand 415ers?
And just call it Random Topics?
No, just call it the 415ers, but we're talking about random city life stuff.
I'm not mad at that, actually. I'm not mad at that at all. Are you mad at that?
No. Not at all. So, the Jock Peterson, Tommy Pham situation.
Yeah.
Did you see the latest on Chris Rose's podcast?
Well, let's ask Chris Rose, who's on the air right now. He's a proud dad and husband, of course, NFL Network, the Chris Rose Rotation Podcast, Baseball Today on John Boy Media. We love Chris Rose here on the Morning Rose on 95.7 The Game. And his Cleveland Guardians are playing very good baseball
right
now. I like their uniforms. I like the way they play.
Cool.
I like seeing Terry Francona get headbutted. But we talk about that a little bit later. Chris, good morning. It was wild. A
lot of baseball action on the field.
Yeah, a lot of action.
Not including actual baseball.
Yeah, a lot of action anywhere but Oracle Park. What's up, Chris? What's happening?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good. We're trying to stay awake during Giants games right now. I guess the only exciting thing has been the Tommy Pham story with Jock Peterson, and I'll let Shasky ask that one. But when you watch the Giants, what do you think? Because I think of a team that I'm like, it's tough to stay awake. There's not a guy on this team other than Jock Peterson who can hit. They have two pitchers who are really, really good. But outside of that, it's been a struggle. What do you think when you watch the Giants? Contender, pretender, just another team? What's your thoughts on them?
So it was interesting. A year ago, I wouldn't describe myself as a Giants hater, just non-believer, right?
Mm.
They had a great first month, and I was like, oh, this is cute. Great little story of a bunch of old guys playing well. And then it got to June, and I was like, yeah, boy, this is going to be great. You know, Farhan's going to be able to really flip these guys for something. This is going to be awesome. And then it got to July, and it's like, ha-ha, joke's on me. I'm the idiot. And I just, you know, I never bought in, and they ended up winning 107 games. And I was like, I kept looking at the squad, and I was like, how the heck did they do this? Like, it is a magical run. It's incredible, and, you know, unfortunately they bowed out against the Dodgers, but that didn't take away from their unbelievable year. And then I looked at him at the beginning of the season. I said, well, he didn't make a whole lot of changes, right? Like, they extended a couple guys. You know, a couple guys will be a little bit older, but, you know, will they be around it? And I said, well, I'm still not going to pick them to make the playoffs. Now, here they are. They're six games out. They just had a terrible homestand against two awful teams. And I think they missed an opportunity in the offseason. I wanted them to go make a play for Seiya Suzuki.
Me too.
Not that necessarily would have worked out. You know, he's been banged up, and with the exception of the first 2.5 weeks of the season, has not been anything special to write about. But, you know, I looked at the Jock Peterson move, and I was like, okay. And it ended up being, like, literally a home run. I mean, he has been their saving grace.
He's been amazing.
He's been unbelievable. best free agent deal in the offseason. But you're right. Other than that, they're kind of nondescript. Crawford, unfortunately, has kind of reverted back to a little bit like looking like his age. You know, Longoria's been pretty decent when he's been in there, offensively. Belt has been missing in action. You know, Luis Gonzalez has been an amazing discovery for them. But other than that, it's not, there's not a bunch of guys in that lineup where you're like, they're must-see at this point.
Well,
it's...
Chris, no, I think you make a great point, and I don't mean to interrupt you. Bookmark Jock for a second, because I'll get back to him. But, like, I guess where I struggle as a Giants fan, look, I'm hooked. I'm addicted. I know I'm in. But how are you going to get the casuals in, right? You got to get the casuals to be in, you got to be more. You got to be more entertaining. There's got to be more to it, right? And I'm looking at it, and I'm just saying, all right. The Giants, I feel like Farhan has done a pretty good job of building up the farm system. They were 27th. Now, depending on what the ranking is, they're like 9th or 10th. But I look in their division, and I say, wow, the Padres are top 5 in spending and payroll and top 5 in farm system. Wow, the Dodgers, top spender in baseball and, by most accounts, one of the top farms in baseball. How are they going to be able to overcome this?
Well, we've always heard that when it's time to spend, it's going to be time to spend. And there's a pretty big guy out there on the East Coast who is from Central California, and they're going to have ample opportunity. Now, it's not the Giants' MO to give a guy 8 to 10 years on the free agent market, right? They did it with Buster to keep him. But other than that, they haven't done it recently, right? They did it with Barry Zito. That was a pitching contract.
Yeah, 7-year deal.
7 years.
They gave a lot of 5-year deals, like 5 years to Samardzija, Cueto, Pence, and, you know, extended Kane, and they gave Belt and Crawford big deals. But no, yeah, 5 to 6 years.
I'm gonna let you in on a little secret. 5 years will not get it done for Aaron Judge.
Are you convinced he's gonna leave?
Privy to any sort of contract talk with him. But I think I'm pointing in the right direction on this one. I don't think 5 years will do it.
Wow.
Are you convinced he's going to leave? Because, again, we do this, like Bryce Harper to the Giants. I mean, they couldn't even land Suzuki, and he cost a fraction. And I know there were other factors, because it's not just about the money. But, like, it does feel like the Giants always end up being either runner-up or the team that's used as leverage so that that guy can get a better deal elsewhere. Shohei, they were runner-ups. They didn't have the DH. But, like, it's just time and time again. So, like, to put all my eggs in the we're going to land Aaron Judge basket, I feel like I'm setting myself up for a disappointment.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's another round of shortstops out there. The problem is Crawford's going to have one more year on his deal. You know, I don't know, guys, because you're right. It's just, like I said, it's not what they do.
Yeah.
We keep hearing that when it's time to spend, that they'll spend. Well, here it is, guys. Like, you've done a great job of replenishing that farm system. And let's remember, you don't necessarily build up farm systems just to have them help you on your field.
Right.
Sometimes those farm systems are built up so that you can trade them for people that you want to help win on your field.
Right.
And I think that they were like, okay, well, last year was such a magical run. Let's see if we can bottle it one more time. That's a really thin needle you're trying to thread.
Mm.
Like, you're banking on not only Crawford and Belt and Longoria and guys like that staying healthy, but producing at, in some cases, an MVP level.
Right.
And most of those guys haven't come close, and that's got to be tough for Giants fans because it is hard to keep pace. I mean, look at what the Padres have done this year. And Fernando Tatis hasn't set foot on the field yet.
That's wild.
They're a game and a half back. It's remarkable because they, you know what? Because they were willing to trade for guys in their starting rotation that could help them.
Yep.
The Dodgers, I know people don't want to hear this up there, but they've had injuries left and right.
Yep.
And they've still done all this. So if I were a Giants fan, I'd be a little miffed.
You know, Chris, and we're talking to Chris Rose here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game, NFL Network, John Boy Media, of course, the Chris Rose Rotation Podcast and Baseball Today. Aaron Judge, right? And I've been beating this drum for a while now. Like, hey, they got to go sign Aaron Judge. But I don't believe they have enough to sign Aaron Judge because of the players on the field and the commitments. Yeah. They only have one player committed in 2024, and that's Anthony DeSclafani. I think it starts, and it has to start with a massive trade of Juan Soto. What you just spoke of, you build up the farm system to kind of flip those players for major league proven talent. And I'm always a guy. Give me the major league proven talent over prospects all day long. I don't know what these guys are going to do in the future. It sounds good, but I know what Juan Soto's going to do on a major league baseball field. I think it starts there, Chris. Do you believe that Juan Soto will be moved before the deadline?
No. I don't think he'll be moved this year. Now, could he be moved in the offseason? Absolutely. I just don't. I really think they want to take their time with that one. I'm talking about Washington. I mean, you're talking about trading. How many surefire Hall of Famers get traded at age 24 or whatever?
Right.
Not many.
Not many. So they're going to want to make sure that they get exactly what they want out of this. And, right, we just talked about the Giants aren't willing to give certain contract parameters. You damn well better be willing to give up, $400 million to Juan Soto. If you make a trade like that, you are pot committed.
Yep.
You have to say, now, do you want to do that as an organization? How many $400 million, how many $300 million? Hell, how many $150 million contracts work out for teams?
Not many.
like Max Scherzer to the Nationals is one where you're like, that guy was worth every penny.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, Joey Votto with the Reds, that's been a struggle. Look at the number of, and I'm not against ballplayers making $200 million. I am in favor of it. I'm just saying, as an organization, you better make sure all those T's are crossed and I's are dotted with everything else going on in your organization.
Yeah. You talk to a lot of current and former players, so I'm interested, and obviously you're a diehard baseball fan like I am, so I'm interested in your perspective on this. I've seen a lot of guys growing frustrated with the platooning that's going on in the big leagues right now. I mean, it was always kind of a thing, but now it just feels so much more prevalent. And I guess there's multiple layers to this. There's obviously the play, I'm going to take out Jock Peterson yesterday. I'm going to pinch hit for Austin Slater because Austin Slater over his career has been slightly better against lefties than what Jock Peterson has. Well, Jock Peterson's like their best player right now. I don't get it. And then I'm hearing from a lot of frustrated young players like, okay, if I never face lefties, how am I going to get better against lefties? Is this part of like a salary suppression thing by the league? Because there's like no middle ground now anymore. It's like, hey, you're either a superstar or you're straight up platooned. And I'm really getting frustrated with it as a baseball consumer.
I think you make a really valid point. I think here's the number one problem is that so many people in the front office think the same way, that they're just trying to outsmart everybody else.
Yeah.
And, they sit there and they crunch the numbers. And sometimes the numbers are hard to argue against. I'd be pissed off if Jock Peterson got taken out of because he's facing a lefty.
Yeah, he did yesterday. Against the Tigers. Come on.
By the way, I wasn't following the game. Was it Soto that he was taken out of against?
No, he got taken out in the sixth inning,
Austin Slater. And then now you're down a left-handed bat when you know they've only got righties after this lefty in the bullpen.
Andrew Chafin was on the mound for the Tigers.
Yeah, it's just... I'm annoyed with it. Who was the kid for the Marlins, Bonte, that I was referencing?
Jazz Chisholm.
I saw him tweeting about this. He's basically like, yo, how am I ever going to be able to get better against lefties if I never face them? And I was like, that's such a great point. He's like 24 years old. What are we doing?
Yeah, and you don't ever want to take a guy like Jazz Chisholm out of the game. I mean, kids come to the game to go see him. That is a guy that just radiates enthusiasm. So, it's a great point, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it drives me nuts. It really does. And I understand the balance that we have to find between the numbers crunching that goes on and the feel in the dugout, because I think that has been lost. I mean, example A is obviously what happened in the 2020 World Series with Blake Snell being taken out of the game,
mm-hmm.
right? That was not a Kevin Cash move.
Mm-hmm.
That was an organizational decision move. And you know, who's to say that that wasn't the day that the baseball gods touched Blake Snell's left shoulder and said, you will throw the greatest game you ever throw. The problem is with all the numbers that we're looking at, there is no margin for having the feel of that day of when somebody is doing something special. That's the biggest problem I have with the numbers, because they don't allow for that.
No, Chris, we are around the corner from football season. I know Shasky has a Jock Peterson question, but NFL is about to kick off. I know the Niners report to camp July 26th. Jimmy Garoppolo is still a part of the team. In my mind, he's not. However, he moved on to Trey Lance. I'm not. Yeah, maybe the Cleveland Browns. Maybe your Browns picks up Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you make of everything? And we don't have to dive deep into the Watson situation, but it is fascinating to see him get $230 million guaranteed. They stagger most of that money to get $1 million guaranteed in case of a suspension. Then you got the Baker Mayfield situation. What the heck is going on with your Cleveland Browns?
Well,
silence is deafening.
No, it's just really, you don't even have to answer. Your silence is enough, Chris.
Yeah, it's, well, I only like to discuss it from the football standpoint of things because the other stuff will drive you nuts.
Yeah, the legal stuff really, is complicated. Like, I don't even know what
more than that. Yeah. Guys, it's more than that, right? Like, we all want to be able to root for people that we think are good people.
Steph Curry.
And right, exactly. Like, we all love everybody to be Steph Curry. The reality is that not only athletes, but people you listen to, you know, in the music world, or people you watch act in movies or in whatever you're streaming these days, you're not going to agree with how they all lead their life. So I've always taught our kids, we have two boys, they'd always ask me, is so-and-so a nice person? I'd say, well, they've been nice to Dad, but I really don't know them.
So
how do you justify rooting for them when they're on their team when you don't necessarily agree with how they go about their life? Mm. And I would always say that when the Browns traded for Deshaun Watson, will I be happy when he throws a touchdown? Absolutely, because, listen, the Browns have given me so much and given my family so much over the years. How people can say, well, just quit the Browns.
That's impossible.
That's BS.
Yeah.
Like, that's impossible to do.
I totally feel you.
No. So that's a hard thing. Now, looking at it quickly from the Browns standpoint, I really believe that if he gets suspended a year, the first call I would make is to Baker Mayfield's people. And I know people will be like, no way. Baker's not going to do this. Well, the explanation is, Baker, you're our best option. You're our best option. And guess what, Baker? We are your best option, because nobody's beating down the doors to take you right now. Mm. And if you end up in Carolina or you end up in Seattle, that's not nearly as good a roster as we have in Cleveland. So here's the deal. We will not tag you at the end of the year. You'll be a free agent. The hope is that you help us win a Super Bowl and we look like morons because we just let our Super Bowl winning quarterback walk. Mm. And that's the way I would play it. I can't imagine that's in play. It would take some grown-up discussions to be had. But tell me why they're not the best option for one another if Watson suspended the entire season.
No, I'm with you on this. I'm totally with you on that. Before you get out of here, the Jock Peterson thing, on your podcast that was out this week, we found out that Jock Peterson basically avoided Tommy Pham last year when he was in Atlanta and didn't go out onto the field for 3 days when Tommy Pham was playing on the other team and just tried to not see him. And he knew that Tommy Pham was going to come up and slap him. If this happened in football or in basketball, the equivalent would be like, yeah, Klay Thompson or, you know, Gary Payton Jr. doesn't want to go out there because he's afraid Dylan Brooks might slap him or whatever it is. It would be the number one topic across sports. Why are we not making more of this?
Well, I want to come out and say, first of all I did was asking a question because it was their former teammate.
Yes.
All right? Like, I wasn't, like, trying to get Jock. It still was a big story because, you know, I think on the day we taped it or something like that, you know, it was still in the news, right? There were still, like, sparks with it. So that's kind of the reason I asked it. I don't know. I was surprised we didn't hear about it last fall, I guess, when that sort of stuff happened.
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
Well, the Reds, how about the Reds pitchers wearing Fam shirts last week at Oracle Park? I was like, they're leading into
it. I like that. Like, I like that stuff.
I do, too.
Like, I love the Giants. Yeah. I love the Giants wearing all the shirts about, you know, it is okay to stash a guy on IR. Like, I think that's funny.
It is funny.
That stuff's great. I'm all in favor of it. I want that sort of stuff to happen. I think it's good for team bonding and all that sort of stuff. I still don't like the Tommy Pham slap jock. Not a fan of that. But it sure as hell did create a lot of interest in the fantasy football world.
Yeah. No doubt.
All wonder how much money they were actually paying for.
Yeah, I mean, how many team names are going to be named with Jock or Peterson or Tommy or Pham? And even Mike Trout. Yeah. The commissioner may change his name to Mike Trout.
I know. Is it amazing that Mike Trout the next day had to answer questions about being the commissioner of the league? Like, here we have the best player in baseball. People are like, so why did you allow that transaction to take place? What?
He got more pub from that than he has anything he's done on the field.
Yeah, for all the MVPs, all the home runs, all the great throws from center field. Unbelievable.
Think about being Jeff Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jeff Wilson.
Right?
I know.
Like, everybody's like, wait a second. This whole thing is over Jeff Wilson? Jeff Wilson's healthy, like, 6 games a year.
If that. He's like the fifth string Niner running back the last 3 years.
Why do you think Debo was taking carries to the playoffs and down the stretch?
Chris, always fun, man.
Chris, is always fun. We'll talk to you more. Of course, we'll football ramping up in baseball. We'll see what happens at the trade deadline. Maybe we'll talk then around the trade deadline to see where the Giants do or what the Giants do. Do they stand pat? Do they trade? Do they move guys? You got to make a decision on Rodon, who's got a player option for $22 million after the season. So we'll see what happens there. But Chris, it's always fun, man. Enjoy your weekend. Have a good one.
You guys as well. I always love coming on anytime. Take care, boys.
He's anytime. Good. Chris Rose on the Morning Rose.
You know, you've been talking about this Deshaun Watson thing, and I don't know
where to go with
it. Well, so let me tell you. He made a point that I agree with. So, like, I was always like, oh, don't worry about what guys are doing off the field. This isn't when I was in my 20s.
Yeah, okay? We all were like that.
Yeah, at one point you're like, who cares? Who cares what they're doing? I don't care how good or bad of a person you are. It doesn't matter. And I'll never forget the day it switched for me, and I'll tell you when it was. Ray McDonald was going through some of the domestic violence accusations at the time, okay?
Right.
And the Niners allowed him to play on the team. And I remember in real time being very conflicted about it. Not necessarily that, like, I knew one way or the other. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what they should do, all right? I didn't know what they should do.
Right.
And then I'm sitting in the living room with my nieces, Aaron and Megan,
right.
And all of a sudden, Ray McDonald makes a play. And they jump up and they're clapping. And I'm thinking to myself, ugh, this feels really dirty. You know what I mean? In terms of, like, I'm watching these two kids who love sports
right.
look up, and they got no idea what's going on with this guy in
right.
his personal life. But he's representing the team and the community. And right then and there, I was like, wow. It would probably be best for everyone in this situation, even though at that time,
right.
nothing, he's not guilty essentially
right.
of anything. These are all accusations. He hadn't even, I don't even think he had been formally charged
no.
to that point.
Think about Aldon Smith, though.
Well,
Aldon Smith, when he was parked in front of a tree.
I know.
After being drunk, could have
killed many people.
And I heard he was in San Francisco that day at a club in downtown San Francisco. How the heck he make it down to that tree in what was it? Redwood City?
Yeah.
Was it Santa Clara?
It was on the way to Santa Clara.
It was on the way.
But
so,
the point
but
is
think
like,
about it.
It might be best for him just to not suit up for
right.
the time being.
But he played 2 days later.
I know.
Against the Colts.
And then they got
I remember
smoked.
That feeling. I remember that feeling. It was actually a close game going into the fourth quarter.
Well, Andrew Luck played great.
Yeah, he played great. It was like 13-7 going into the fourth quarter. Yeah. I remember the game. After that game, I was like, Frank Gore didn't get enough carries. It was a one-score game.
Vernon dropped a couple passes
It was a weird game, but
was that the Pep Hamilton game for
Pep
the Colts?
Hamilton? Yeah. They were celebrating. They
remember
were spiking
that?
The ball. Oh yeah, no doubt. But I remember Alden playing in that game, and I was like, it's all good. We need him. That was where my mindset was then.
Yeah,
I was like, we
so
need him.
So when did
him.
It switch for you? Because right then and there, I was like, and I look, I get it.
I
to
think
take
the, Ray
out
Rice,
of the, workplace,
the Ray Rice situation kind of flipped me.
Okay.
Because it was around the same time as Alden was playing.
Yeah.
And that's when I started to think, like, man, it's bigger than sports.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be hitting women in the elevator. In elevators, you can't be stomping on girls.
Was shocking.
It was shocking.
I don't care who
you know,
are.
Like, even when Joe Mixon scores and he runs touchdowns, and Joe Mixon has done everything to redeem himself and try to become a model citizen. There's times, though, I watch him and I'm thinking, like, damn, remember what he did at Oklahoma? Like, yeah. You know, it's it's like if you fist pump around a different crowd, you're going to get looked at crazy, right? Yeah. It's like, cheering for Michael Vick. There's a lot of people who love dogs. I mean, and we talked about it the other day.
And you got texts on the text line. I will never root for that guy ever.
Exactly.
Even though he's shown contrition afterwards. But what if he's on your team?
And I know a lot of Philly buddies. They don't even talk about it. They're like, man, Michael Vick was great that year. That's what they talk about. Michael Vick gave us some great memories. Well, Michael Vick this, Michael Vick that.
Big Ben Roethlisberger. Talk to a Steeler fan. That's like the 15th thing they'll bring up regarding Big Ben, whereas most non-Steeler fans, it's one of the first three or four things you bring up, right? So I guess what I'm saying is that it's easy for me to sit here and say, deactivate player X.
Right.
It's a lot harder when you're the team and you're relying on that guy for whatever reason.
Paying him a lot of money.
Exactly. And the reality is that our legal system struggles with, you know, is the guy being convicted?
Right.
Are they actually getting a guilty plea out of him? Like, what's going on? Right now, the Deshaun Watson thing is so sticky and so weird. He settles with 20 of the 24 accusers. What does that mean? Is that an admission of guilt? Right. Is that an admission of no
think
guilt?
About this.
Well, I don't even know what it is. Is it just to go away?
Hold on. Think about this, though. A lot of people are counting on the NFL to do something about Deshaun Watson. The NFL has shown this year after year. They're not the moral police.
The police struggle with these things. Their fault.
The legal system needs to ramp it up.
Agreed.
And they need to do something about the situation because the NFL don't have the personnel. The NFL should do something about it.
The legal
NFL
process is flawed, though.
Right, it is flawed.
It takes a long, long time.
It does. But the NFL should have been said, hey, Deshaun Watson, we need you to stay away. The NFL said, oh, Deshaun Watson traded to the Browns. All right, cool. He's got pressers and everything.
It felt like the Texans were the ones that had to take Deshaun off the field and not the NFL.
Right.
It did feel like the NFL was wiping their hands clean.
Yep.
But again, I guess my question is, how much do you want them involved in those things? And I don't have an answer. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here because in some cases, someone might be falsely accused or in a situation that isn't as bad as it might locally be reported.
And I still don't know the Deshaun Watson situation. And then
you got other cases where, you know, you brought up Dante Stallworth. It happened. And then they still didn't really know how to punish the situation.
And he played.
So,
he basically played the next year.
Again, I don't know, man. I don't know what the answer is here. I just think it's very difficult for me to sit here and say, the NFL needs to punish and take these guys and this and the other. There's no like hard set rule.
Yeah, no. And look, I don't think it's the NFL's job to police some of these legal situations. Now, what they should do is just say, hey, Deshaun, you're not playing. Until you figure out the legal stuff, you're not playing. That's the stance I would take as the NFL. But they've shown with Dan Snyder, they've shown with the Kaepernick situation, they don't handle these things.
No.
And that's knock on the league. But yet, we still watch.
Dan Snyder is being subpoenaed right now and is not accepting a subpoena.
Right.
He's the owner of a team.
Right. And he's worth over $4 billion.
And he's ducking it.
He paid the $10 million fine and he's ducking it.
Get that guy out of my league.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, what's coming up on the game brought to you by News Nation? We'll get into Juan Toscano-Anderson and we'll get Eric on the line as well. Eric in Oakland, just stay on hold. We want to get your call on the other side. But let's talk about JTA and James Wiseman. Haven't done much of that today on the Morning Roast. That'll be brought to you by News Nation. Want the news without the noise? News Nation is news for all America, reporting all sides, no spin and no agendas. Go to newsnationnow.com/join us to find your News Nation on your television provider.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
What up, baby? What up? What up? What up? What is up, everybody? Shout out to Warriors Brazil. Warriors Brazil. At Warriors _Brazil, tweeting this. The Bonte Hill raised the idea of Bay Area restaurants offering free food to Juan Toscano-Anderson forever. JTA's response, just tell me where. I love food. I'm pulling over anywhere. This charisma will be missed. That's from Warriors Brazil on Twitter. Warriors Brazil on Twitter. Chiming in, I had to translate the tweet.
It really is a great story.
You know, it is a great story. Marcus Thompson wrote a good story. He talked to JTA last night, and JTA said, man, look, man, it is what it is. And I'll read some of the quotes from JTA, who the Warriors did not extend their qualifying offer to for $2.1 million. But JTA said, look, man, I got a championship with my hometown team.
Yeah.
All right? I'm stamped in the town. I'm stamped in my country. That bleep can't nobody take away from me. You've got to give a little to get a little. And I gave up playing time to, you know, become a legend. I'm a legend in the town. I'm a legend in Mexico. And I'm not saying that myself. It's showing. Know what I mean? So JTA was talking a little bit later. And he said, look, man, at the end of the day, some of those things are out of my control. I ain't going to say I was unhappy about the lack of playing time. I know that I'm better than that. But it is what it is. It's the way the cards fell. And you know, I'm lucky to have a job, man. Gratitude. That's what I wake up and remind myself of every day. Just be grateful that I have a job. Juwan Toscano Anderson. It's a great perspective. And look, man, he said, in a perfect world, I would have loved to stay home and stay with this team. It ain't even about the Warriors. It's about that locker room. That locker room is incredible. And that starts from the top down, playing with number 30, number 23, number 11. That's an incredible experience. This is deeper than just playing for the Warriors. Wherever I go, I hope I find something similar, which I understand is going to be hard to match. I just wish people understood what that locker room's like. It was a hell of a time. And JTA, of course, that was courtesy of Marcus Thompson in The Athletic. Juan Toscano Anderson, he came in during that 15-win season, and he helped flip the culture again for the Golden State Warriors. Last year's 39-33 year, one of the most memorable plays all season was him jumping five rows deep in TD Garden in Boston, going for a loose ball. The guy would break his neck for a ball on that floor. And that helped transfer over to this year. He was part of that great start when they go 18-2. He had the great dunk over JaVale McGee. So JTA, it's not the he could possibly come back at a cheaper rate. But the Warriors are allowing him to go see what's out there at free agency. Hopefully, he can get a spot in a rotation somewhere. But JTA will forever be remembered here in the Bay Area.
I mean, there's been a lot of guys that have had opportunities to play for their hometown team that are like superstar levels. Like Brandon Crawford, not on the level of some of these other guys. But Brandon Crawford has that opportunity. It's remarkable.
Yep.
Ricky Henderson, right? I mean, think of how great Ricky Henderson was. Mm-hmm. The fact he gets to play for Oakland. Dave Stewart. You know what I mean? Guys like that.
Right.
So on a lower level, it's a great story, though. Yep. This is a guy that bounced around, all right, couldn't find his footing, and then finds his footing in the NBA with the team he grew up with.
It's amazing.
And it really is. And then, obviously, he didn't get his opportunities that he would like maybe down the stretch this year, but he was a perfect type of a role player that you got to have as a 10, 9, 11, 12th man on a team where he can do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. And that's what he is, a limited player, but he's going to give you everything that he's got.
Yep.
He's going to try to throw down on someone. Mm-hmm. He got a little nasty in him.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of the same qualities that Matt Barnes had. I think Matt Barnes is probably a more skilled player overall in terms of with the ball in his hand. It's just a great story, and I think that when it comes to embodying what the entire team and overcoming
what
and chip
Bay
on your shoulder, yeah.
He represented the Bay. He represented the Bay, and he got it the hard way. You know what I'm saying? He got it the hard way, going up to the G League, going through Mexico after Marquette, not playing much at Marquette, coming out of Castro Valley. And he didn't even get all the headlines at Castro Valley. A kid named Roger Bobick got all the headlines at Castro Valley. We all thought Roger Bobick, but perseverance, no doubt about that. So, look, man, in 2020-21, he saw regular minutes. He shot 58% from the field and 40% from three. He's got to get more run. The offense regressed this year. And then when you get Kuminga and Moody, they're coming along, Damian Lee. It's tough to get minutes on the championship team. But you know what? He stayed engaged. He stayed a professional. Now he's in Mexico City celebrating with that Larry O'Brien trophy. Sort of give JTA some love. JTA was a very good Golden State Warrior on and off the floor.
Of course. I'm going to have really fond memories of him. You know, I mean, I think it's somebody like Kevin Franzen who got to play for the San Francisco Giants. Like, imagine if Franzen had been a part of the 2010 team.
Yep.
Right, for example. Like, that's what JTA did. You know what I mean? So, it's a great story. I understand why the team's moving off him because there's only so many slots.
Right.
And I think maybe Weatherspoon or one of these other guys can maybe give them some of those elements that maybe he can't give you. I think maybe a little more shooting is something that they might be looking for. But look, you got to love what this guy stands for and what he embodies. And then I just think as a teammate, first guy off the bench, clapping everybody up. I mean, he's my kind of teammate.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. And he was about that smoke.
Well, no doubt.
If you wanted to bring some smoke to the Golden State Warriors, JTA was about that life.
Best dunk of the season was him on Aiden?
JaVale McGee.
Oh, JaVale McGee. Excuse me.
And he got JaVale McGee to sign it on Christmas Day.
You think that
Day.
Was the best dunk of the year?
For him?
Yeah.
Or for the Warriors?
For the Warriors.
Because
I was going to say the GP2 had a couple.
On Kelly Oubre Jr.
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins on Carl Anthony Towns.
What about the Andrew Wiggins one in the final? The Western Conference Finals.
Brandon Clark. What about Brandon Clark against Memphis on Luca?
Yeah, that was a good one.
You know, the Warriors had some very good tucks.
The Luca one was
sick. What about Kuminga? Kuminga had some posters.
Yeah, well, Kuminga's always going to have posters.
By the way, the cap rise with the NBA, I don't know if you saw this yesterday.
I did see that.
Cap will rise $11 billion,
and that
will save the Warriors nearly $10 million in luxury tax penalties. So let's get to some calls real quick. Eric in Oakland. Eric in Oakland, what's happening? You're on the roast here on 95.70 Game.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. How you doing, Eric?
All right. I just wanted to add a point about y'all were talking about. I brought up Joe Mixon, his situation at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the girl kind of did hit him. First, men shouldn't hit women, but. I noticed whenever the situation is brought up, the media never brings up when women are hitting male athletes first. It's always, both sides should be
said. I get it, Eric. And look, the girl did hit Mixon first.
We don't know.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, we don't.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
I'll
make it right.
There's a lot.
There are some women who instigate things that happen, but as a male, we got to have a restraint. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Well, it's you should be taught at a young age, no matter what the circumstances, unless your life is being physically threatened in the moment.
Right.
There's literally really no other excuses other than that. So, yeah. But also, there's two sides to every story, and I hear him on this.
Yep.
And this is where going back to the legal system.
You know what? Mixon has done a lot to try to redeem himself and become a model citizen.
It's more about the metaphor of a situation like Mixon. It's not that where – and this happens in anything. So-and-so is accused of fraud or whatever. That's on the front page. Then he gets acquitted or he gets found not guilty. Where's that be? Along page 17 in the tiniest little print. Like, that's how that thing works. Once you get labeled, unfortunately, the media, you could say it's the media's fault, but that's if it bleeds, it leads. That's kind of how it works, unfortunately. And when you're someone as high profile as Mixon, you're the one who's going to get the heat and not the person who we don't even know the name of.
No doubt. Let's go to Manu in Manila. All the way in the Philippines.
Let's go.
Manu? What's up, Manu?
Yo, what's up? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, my name is Manu. I'm calling all the way from Manila.
So what time is it right now, Manila?
I'm back to Cali soon to do matches. 11:42 p.m.
Wow. Well, you're watching us, listening to us, man. That's love right there, Manu.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so I'm one of the guys running Warriors News on Twitter. I think you've seen it, Bonte. The Stat News Saturday account, with all the Warriors stats.
You're the one running that?
Me and another dude, we've been running this these past few months and stuff.
I love that account.
Yeah.
I follow you guys. You guys have a great account.
Yeah, I do. You guys are great.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, how much, the follow and the interactions mean to us. Like, thanks for the follow, and I hope you guys are liking the content. And thanks to the station itself, 95.7, Twitter account, for following us as well. So I just want to say a huge thank you for all the support and appreciation.
Oh, well, thank you, Manu. Call us back anytime, man.
You know I got love for the Philippines.
No doubt about it. We're talking about JTA. We'll get to the calls in just a second, but I want to play this about James Wiseman. Because James Wiseman will not play in the California Classic. And, some people was disappointed about that. But James Wiseman is not disappointed. Listen to this young man.
Just one second.
Hold on. Listen to
before you play it. No, before you play it. I'm getting so sick of this.
What?
We won the championship. Every day, a segment of Warrior fan base is triggered. Get a life. Like, all seven of you who tweet nonstop all day, get a life. We won the championship. We are on top of the world. Stop being miserable. Get out of your hipster little Twitter, like, bubble and smile. Go interact with real people in real life. You know when I see a Warrior fan, they're not like, oh, Wiseman's not playing in the California Classic. You know what they say? God damn that guy. Curry is special. Thank God we won a championship. I can't believe James Wiseman's not playing in the California Classic. Big Jim's not playing. You know how big of a loser and how unfulfilled in life you have to be miserable 11 days after they won the sickest championship in their franchise's history, to be concerned about Big Jim playing 7 minutes in the California Classic? Go out and see the sun. Get some vitamin D, you loser. Jesus! I know who you know who you are too. You're listening right now to steal our content.
Triggered
dorks, dorks.
I don't know what he's talking about, man. I was just gonna play something about Chase Wiseman being excited.
Man, it feels great. Like, man, this whole year and a half, like, I learned a lot about myself as the person. I went through a lot of trials and tribulations, but I'm here now, so we practicing, and but today felt great. I feel good out there with the guys, and just everything about it. Like, I'm speechless, so I feel good just playing again. Truly a blessing.
Couldn't even contain himself at practice.
I couldn't even contain myself in practice today because I was just smiling the whole time. But yeah, it's a great process, great journey. I'm just blessed to be here. I'm just blessed to be in the NBA. I'm just blessed to be an NBA player. Just everything about this is just a dream still. So, man, I can't wait for everything else just coming forward for me, and it's going to be great.
So, James Wiseman, who you've gotten to know a little bit, and you know, I did a Zoom with him last year right after his birthday and got to know the guy. We saw him at Media Day.
Yeah.
And I love the kid. I love him. Every time I interact with him, I just love what he's all about. And everybody's always going to bring up LaMelo Ball and this and that without looking at the situation with Jordan Poole and Kuminga and Moody and all that stuff. I'm pulling so hard for James Wiseman because people forget. Like, if you just go back and look at his game logs, and I remember every one of those games, his first ever NBA game after playing 69 minutes of college basketball was against the Brooklyn Nets. And I know the Warriors got blown out. The guy scored 18 points. This guy possibly was the best Warrior on the court when he got blown out by the Milwaukee Bucks on Christmas Day. All right, he was taking it to Giannis Antetokounmpo. This kid put up numbers that KG and Rasheed Wallace did as a rookie in the NBA. And for some reason, a lot of people have written him hard. Written him off. Oh, yeah, Wiseman, we don't expect much from him. Look, if he gives the Warriors 20 minutes a game next year, and he gives them about that same production, 11-7, 11-6. I'm taking that all day long, especially if they have Kevon Looney back. And you heard what he said in that first cut. I've learned so much over the last year and a half. He's learned how to be a winner.
Mm-hmm.
He's learned how to be a professional. He's learned where to be on the floor, whether it's screening, rebounding, boxing out, whatever it is. And we forget how athletic this young man is. He's 7'1" and is massive. And if you add him to the equation with these Golden State Warriors, and he gives them anything next year, we're never going to be talking about him being a bust. We're going to be talking about him being a champion and a contributor on a championship team. So I don't get why people are not patient with this young man.
Because this is not about James Wiseman. This is a bigger sports conversation. People have their cemented thoughts and refuse to come off them, no matter what. Anything says, no argument you can say, and this isn't just sports. Politics, this happens too with people nowadays. They want confirmation bias at every single turn. And if you disagree with me, okay, I'm not even going to listen to you. So you're never going to win me over. Bonte, anything you say to someone who doubts James Wiseman right now, they're not sitting here like, whoa, you're right, Bonte. You know what? I hadn't thought of it that way because we're so close-minded. Everybody wants to be right on their initial convictions. I didn't think Andrew Wiggins could play the way Andrew Wiggins did.
Right.
And then he did. And now he's completely won me over, and I love watching him play. It's like, I can't believe I'm saying that a year and a half later.
Right.
We don't even allow for that position to be switched in modern society.
Mm-hmm.
James Wiseman is who he is on the day that I thought he was going to be drafted, and I wanted LaMelo Ball, and we didn't get him. And so anything that Bonte says and the fact that he's not playing, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to be won over. And I'm at the point now with James Wiseman, and it's not an indictment. I'm rooting for him. I'm optimistic for him. Let's just see it. Like, at this point, I just want him to see it, and I want him to showcase it, because every one of the other young guys recently that they've brought into the fold has shown promise.
Yep.
Even in his small little amount of time, he showed promise.
He showed promise. What? Like, I see a tweet. I see a text like this.
People dug in on their opinions.
I see a text like
this.
They
want to be right, and they don't want to be proven wrong.
Right. Well, not only that, but, like, you know, I look at a text where they say, well, he's injury prone. Well, let's think about the injuries. Gets the wrist injury, going up for an alley-oop, he falls on the floor. A lot of people are going to hurt their wrists like that. Okay. The meniscus injury against Washington. Lands funny. Walks off the floor. He's having a good stretch. He's actually coming into his own. It's unfortunate. I think it's way too early to say he's injury prone. Okay. He had some setbacks. And the Warriors, having success this season, allowed them to prolong the return of James Wiseman. It allowed them to say, you know what, Wiseman, we're going to shut you down. We're going to make sure this baby is 100% right. Because next season, you're going to have a bigger role with Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody coming off the bench or starting or whatnot. And we'll see what happens with Kevon Looney. All the reports are saying that he's going to be back here, which would be good for James Wiseman, because this is what he said about learning from Looney.
We're all frustrated that he's not playing.
Yeah,
but to ride him is like, it's not going to help the situation.
Yeah, it's fine. This is a long-term play.
If you'd have asked me to assess Kevon Looney after a year, I'd be like, he's probably not an NBA player. Jordan Poole after a year. After a year and a half, I'm not
really sure. Folks wanted Bielitsa to start at the beginning of the season over Looney. And now everybody wants Looney back.
But this is a bigger thing. We don't allow for our position to be affected or changed by the results that we're seeing or the things that we're hearing. We are dug in on what we believe, and nothing will shake us off of that.
Here's some quick cuts here from Wiseman on what he learned from Kevon Looney.
The one thing I learned about Looney is just keeping it simple, not doing too much, just playing his role, rebounding, just running the floor. And that's what I want to do for this team. So, like, whenever my opportunity come, I'm going to be ready to take the opportunity and just work hard.
What did Wiseman observe during the playoffs?
I was just observing the environment, really just the arena, just the fans, just the intensity, like every detail. I was locked in on the huddles. Just every detail matters in the playoffs, and just like how everybody was focused and locked in, and everybody knew the personnel on each player, the tendencies, the weaknesses. So I just developed that type of mindset in terms of, like, when I hopefully get back in that situation, I'll be able to lock in like them guys did and just be able to be ready to go. Like, it was times to where, like, sometimes I wanted to be in the back just because, like, I was so mad that I wanted to play. But I was like, nah, push my ego to the side. I'm like, no, like, this is going to make me better as a basketball player. So I just locked in on every detail.
I love the perspective from the young fella. I love the perspective. I like what I'm hearing from James Wiseman. Now, obviously, he has to show it on the floor, but I definitely like what I was hearing. And I like what I saw in Santa Cruz in his limited time with the Santa Cruz Warriors this past season. I wasn't mad at it.
Well, look. As I take a step back, I understand I'm frustrated. I want to see the guy play. I don't like seeing him doing like little like dribbling drills and stuff. I want to see him playing games as much as everybody. But like to sit here and piss and moan and complain and, oh, he's supposed to be X, Y, and Z. They just won the championship without him even being a contributor. Yep. So if he gives you anything moving forward, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be absolutely awesome. And it takes time. I mean, Steph Curry didn't blossom and mature for years, and he's one of the greatest players we've ever seen. If Wiseman just gives me anything, just anything, it'll be a bonus.
No doubt. It's a great question here. I just saw this question. 415, so how much longer are you willing to wait before you give up on Wiseman? Let him play the contract out. Let's see what happens.
What's the hurry?
Yeah, there's no rush right now. Steph Curry's still playing at a high level. Klay Thompson's still playing at a high level. Wiggins playing at a high level. Draymond, he's back. Jordan Poole looks like a baller. Kuminga, he could grow. Just grow slowly like Looney. Just grow slowly like Looney. Look what happened with Kevon Looney since he's been drafted in 2016. And he's already got he's got more ability than Looney. Just raw ability?
Yes.
Looks better than Looney. And Looney became a player.
Well, it took Robert Williams a couple of years.
You just watched
a guy in the finals who had a bulky knee, for a couple of years. He's not even on the Joel Embiid level. Like, everyone agrees. Jokic and Joel Embiid, those guys are unicorns. Like, just throw them to the side. Right. Robert Williams Was he impactful?
Very impactful.
Did he battle knee injuries during this playoff run in years past?
Yes, he did.
But can you see that there's some promise there? Mm-hmm. Now, again, I don't know if Wiseman's going to play the way Robert Williams is just a very different player. I think James has more offensive skill. Right. The defense does not intimidate me the way Robert Williams does.
Right.
But I'm saying it takes time for these big men.
No doubt it does. Let's take some calls here. Some lines. We'll rat-a-tat-tat. 30 seconds or less. Mia in Oakland. What's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, guys. I'm just wanted to give a shout out. I really, really appreciate JTA's play and humbleness as a player, accepting his role. I am that sports mom. I call in several times. And it's that lesson learned, that know your role, play your game. Mm. And you'll be rewarded for it. It may not be the Steph Curry level of reward, but people will respect your play and your contribution to a team. That's why I will forever be a Looney fan, because he did the same thing this season.
Good call. Yep.
So I appreciate the time. And my shout out to my boys' team, 13U, firmly rooted. I got to do it every time I call.
Oh, yeah.
And just so you know, last month they won the 13U division of the Coca-Cola Aces tournament down in Garden Grove. So shout out to Firmly Rooted, and shout out to those great NBA players that know their roles and play their game.
Let me echo that sentiment, because I always say to parents, I go, hey, look, your kid plays shortstop on every team. Okay, great. Yeah, awesome. When they get to high school, they might play right field. Mm-hmm. They might be, you know, a backup. When you do the play, this is the analogy I always use, because sports people are stuck in sports. Not everybody can be Dorothy.
Yep.
Somebody's got to be a tree.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to hold the lighting. Okay.
I like that analogy.
This week you might be holding the lighting. Next week you might be Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz.
No doubt. That's a good call.
She's right. I love the role players.
That. Yep. Good call, Mia. Let's go to Eric and Millbrae. Eric, what's happening? You're in the roast.
So, fellas, JTA. Hopefully he comes back, even if it's on a lesser deal. I think he's a pivotal role guy, and he's an ultimate team guy. Even when he's not playing, he's doing it during practice, and he's doing all the dirty work behind the scenes, which you need. So I hope they bring him back. As far as Looney goes, I think we definitely need to bring him back. I'm more comfortable with a two-man, big man rotation, because we don't know what we have in Wiseman. Mm-hmm. And lastly, guys, Jake, I want GQ back desperately, but he's a guy that's bounced around his whole career. He had a great year, and he's going to get paid. So in the event that they lose him, I haven't heard. What about Patty Mills? They wanted him last year, and it looks like he wants out of Brooklyn because can't deal with those cases. What do you think about him as a replacement in the event that GP2 gets a bigger deal?
They're just totally different players.
Yeah, they're totally different players.
Totally different players.
I want GP2's defense back. I want that defense back. Let's get Rick real quick in Oakland. Last call of the show. Wants to talk about JTA. Rick, what's happening?
You're
on the roast.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I want to give a shout out to Juan for being the first, you know, Mexican American to win the championship, and also going down to Mexico meeting the president.
Mm-hmm.
My stepson's grandmother, it's his grandmother. So, you know, I try so hard to tell them, like, hey, can you hook it up with some finals tickets, you know? It never happened, but I want to give my shout out to him, and hopefully he stays with the Warriors one more year, and hopefully next year we can make it happen.
No doubt. Thanks for the call,
Rick. Have
you ever
seen Spaceballs?
It's been a long
Luke,
time.
I am your father's brother's best friend's girlfriend's roommate.
Every story. Love the family barbecues. Oh, yeah, that's your cousin on your daddy, uncle, great-grandmother's side. I'm like, what? I'm confused here.
We're related.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Big Irish families. Yeah. Like, how many of my cousins did you meet? I'm like, I'm their uncle, but I'm also their cousin.
Oh, man, the Warriors are champs, and they could be patient with James Wiseman. I love this perspective, James Wiseman. Love what I heard from him as we go to the flex moment of the show, brought to you by Xfinity. The Burger King downtown on Powell Street.
Carl's Jr. was the most disgusting Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr.
is
still there.
That's one of the nastiest ones of all time.
It's tough to eat there.
That plaza needs major work.
Yes, it's not cool. But the Burger King on Powell Street next to the, what's a jewelry spot? Was it Wholesale? I think it was called Wholesale.
What was that jewelry spot?
Yeah.
I got a Death Row chain there.
Yeah, I know. I got so many fake chains
there. They had
the
No Limit tank chains.
I had so many fake
Remember
chains.
That?
Oh, yes. And they had all the Middle Eastern cats working in there. My brother. What's up, my brother? What can I do for you, my brother? Check out this chain, my brother. $40, my brother. And I'm like, $40 is big money, man.
Everybody used to go to that little chain spot. And it was all fake.
All fake.
I mean, literally, your skin would turn purple.
I think it was Wholesale.
Yes.
And that Burger King.
It was. Right where the cable car turned around.
That Burger King was nasty.
And then they built the Lids right up the street, and everybody started going to that Lids. Boy, back in the day.
The Flex of the Show, presented by Xfinity Flex, the 4K streaming TV box with voice remote and Peacock Premium, free with Xfinity Internet.
Back in the day, not a kid anymore, whatever those words are. By the way, it's time for the changeover. Brought to you by Oakland PD Recruitment.
Young, I'm not a kid anymore.
Well, someday. Again. The changeover brought to you by Oakland PD Recruitment. Be the change you want to see. Willard and... I think Willard's solo today.
No. He's around. He's doing whatever he's doing. He'll be in here in a sec.
What's up,
Mark? I love the phrase back in the day.
Back in the day.
That's just one of those phrases. You can just say that whenever.
Back in the day.
Talking to people about nothing.
And look, that day
back in the day.
My dad,
Mark.
Back in the day, I used to walk 17 million miles to St. John's and then to Reardon. And then we'd all walk to the grocery store. It'd be 14 degrees outside. Dad, you live in San Francisco. What the hell are you talking about?
Back in the day, it could be 2010, it could be 2008, it could be 1999, it could be last week, back in the day, 5 years ago, back in the day.
Hey, damn right it was a good day.
I bet your kids tell you all the time and remind you how old you are, because kids have a very unique way, without even knowing it, that they just remind you of how old and washed you are on a daily basis.
Or they specifically remind you of it. Like mine have reached that age where no matter what, they're like, man, you're old. Like they lean into it, and there are moments where you're like, damn it, that kind of hurt my feelings for a second. Like, wait a minute, like, just come on, like, to ease off the gas over here for a second, because you're going to college in 3 years.
Oh, boy.
Right? My hair is starting to change the color a little bit. Man, I play golf and you feel it the next morning a little bit sometimes or whatever. You're like, hey, too soon.
Well, my dad and me, we were going in different directions, you know, like two trains in the night. I'm like, oh, what are you hitting here? I'm like, oh, I'm going to go with the 9-iron. Pops, I'm hitting a 7-iron. And he's looking over me. I knew right then and there I had him. Yeah. Right there. That was the moment.
Oh, that's a big one with me and my boy. Oh, my gosh.
Club up, club down.
Yeah, he compares everything.
Yeah.
So wait, but if you go club up, that means what? So
that means you don't hit it as far.
Yeah. Yes. Oh. If I'm hitting a 9-iron and my dad's hitting a 7, that means I'm hitting all of my clubs essentially farther than him.
If we're using the same club, he gets real happy. He gets
really?
He's got a beautiful
swing. To the right, he has a beautiful swing.
The lefty to the 8-year-old is a prodigy.
Just a little guy.
The lefty? The righty's got a great swing.
No, you get to the point where you have more woods than irons in your bag, that's when you know you're an old guy. Because that's where I am now.
Knowledge. Well, but what they don't know is that they're going to kill me. Like, they are going to, they've had these clubs in their hands since they're like, since they could walk.
Yeah.
They're going to crush the player that I've been.
But that's a good thing.
But they don't know that yet. Yeah. And you don't let them know.
And it'll happen. And I've taken that first L where my youngest Keon, we played 18 and he beat me. And so that's
now. Did he rub it in?
No. I mean, if we want to talk career record, I'm like 18-1 against him.
Because I framed my first scorecard when I beat my dad.
I
framed it.
Well, and I'm not joking. Unlike my father, because I played college tennis, and I hope you're listening, Guru, on the way in, because we will be setting up this tennis match.
You played college tennis?
I played tennis at College of Marin.
Tennis is very hard. Have you ever tried tennis?
I'm not mad at that.
I consider myself athletic, and I'm like, it's very difficult to get a volley going with someone. Like, I'm serious. Like, the game is very, very hard.
Into me as a high school student, I was 4'9" as a freshman. Yeah. I was 5'5" when I finally graduated. So when you're a sports mad miniature person and you want to play sports so badly, you realize that cross country, they don't cut you. So you run cross country. And then tennis, I actually got to be pretty good at tennis. Yeah. So those are my two sports, cross country and tennis. Gotcha. And so I went on to play college tennis, but I played my father one time when he was about 62, and I think I was about 15, and he beat me, and I was so mad. And he said, Daniel, you and I, we will never play again. And we never played again.
Called you Daniel?
Always Daniel. Wow. Dwayne, rest in peace.
No, there's a handicap
career record, 1-0 against me. I was never able to beat the old man because he never played me again.
And there's a handicap system in golf, but it's totally different than the, like, isn't there like the points or whatever? Like, I'm a 4 or I'm a 3. In the,
tennis, it's levels.
Levels.
It's
okay, levels. That's what it is.
I got to ask a question if you do.
So that you can compete on the same
Right, so if you're a 4.0, you play against other 4.0s.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, I was trying to think of what.
So,
us.
You are listening to 95.7 again, KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station. Download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 again for the best and most up-to-date Warriors coverage. Guru wants to play you in tennis.
Yeah, I've got you in tennis. Tennis is hard, dude.
Like, where did this come from?
Well, you've done radio with Goo, and we all know the Goo, and I believe he's the MVP of this entire station. I love him. There's no one better. There's no one more authentic.
And irrationally confident.
Sometimes he gets on these roles where, you know, somebody, I think a texter or a caller challenged him about, you know, you don't play tennis. I'll play tennis. I'll even take down dibs. I play so much tennis.
Does he own a tennis racket?
I don't know all these things, Joe. All I know is that...
I doubt it.
In my mentions, the streets, as Guru would say, came to me and said, Guru thinks he can beat you in tennis. And so it's like, okay. I mean, it's a little different than me thinking I could beat Lorenzo Neal in a one-on-one basketball game.
Did he challenge Lo Neal, too, in a 40-yard dash? That never came to fruition.
Yeah, it never came to fruition. He challenged Jordan Bell to a one-on-one basketball game.
I do remember that one.
And then Jordan Bell hit him with the money bag emoji or whatever it was.
Well, I remember going to Jordan Bell saying, hey, we're going to make this happen. He goes, he needs about 20 bands, if you want, or 10 bands. And then when Jordan Bell saw the clips of the Warriors World Tournament in which Guru played in, he started laughing, like, really? This guy's a bum. And I remember Jordan Bell telling Whitley and I, Guru's a bum. He would get destroyed. He wouldn't even get a shot up. And I was like, damn.
Well, I like Guru's chances now more than ever based on, I mean, Jordan Bell, who are you?
Yeah.
Where are you now? Is he playing in Latvia?
He's ordering candles for somebody currently.
He was in the G League instead of Cruz Warriors.
Oh.
He was with the Santa Cruz Warriors alongside Jacob Evans.
Okay. Maybe he'll be the basketball version of Mark Appel and make it back to the show at 30. Shout out Mark Appel.
Yeah, that's pretty
Monta
cool.
Vista, covered him in high school as a basketball player. Yeah. Number one overall.
Yeah. Yep.
Never even had a chance, a sniff of the bigs, but he put in the work, and good for Mark, able to pitch earlier this week.
Jordan Bell last played for the Fort Wayne Mad Ants.
Wow.
Of the NBA G League.
Yeah.
He's a mad ant.
I still would take him over Guru.
Well, yeah.
So the tennis thing, I understand. We're going hard court.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
hard court.
I don't even know. Are there grass? Any tennis courts? I mean, grass courts out here?
Yeah, there's clay at the Olympic Club, as you know.
I've never used it. Some of these kids are in great shape.
Whoop. Yeah, it's...
Where is that one? Lake?
It's down below.
Oh, it's actually at Sutter. Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
No, it's up there at the lake.
What about grass courts?
So, you know, you've got the clubhouse, and then you've got the lower parking lot. If you go down that road below the lower parking lot, that's where the tennis courts are.
Okay. Well, because I'm watching Wimbledon, it just looks so cool on the grass. I mean, it's super cool.
Yeah.
The thing about old guys golfing, though, even though, because golf's very unique, you could play different tee boxes. So Grandpa moved up a couple tee boxes, changed the game. So reluctant. That's the ladies' tee. No, Grandpa. That's the forward tees.
Exactly.
That's the forward tees. He went there, game changer for him. If you can putt well, you can compete as an old guy. My dad doesn't drive it as far as he used to, but he putts beautifully, and so he's kind of in the mix, especially on certain courses.
Yeah.
I just love the dynamic of, you know, most of the time, Dibs, your dad notwithstanding, most of the time as a parent, you actually, I can't wait for the time when my kid takes me behind the woodshed.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Like, but I'm not going to let him.
My dad will not give it up.
But come on, man. I want this kid to play so well. He's on a high school team. I want him to be amazing. But that's the advantage I have on him right now. When we go out and play, I am easy breezy. Man, there might be a margarita in a cup, and he is grinding.
Of course.
He is like, he's watching everything. He's looking at what I'm pulling out of my bag. He wants to know what kind of ball I'm using.
Totally.
He wants to know which way the wind's blowing. I'm like, I don't care what happens here. And so I'm usually about 6 or 7 strokes up by the end of the whole thing because I don't care.
Yeah. That's funny. And it's funny because before Keon, my youngest, beat me, we get to the turn and I shoot my usual 44, 45, and he has like a 42, and he's got the lead, and you get through 12, you get through 13. Yeah, because always after 9, you total up 9, it's like, and if he asks, you had a 43, good round, good front, I'm at 46, and then you get through 13, and the lead's cut to 2, and then
starts feeling that pressure.
On 14, he snaps one left, and then instead
did Dad do one of these?
No, because fun. You never want to do that, especially for my little Pooks. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to make Pookie feel bad. And so, you know, he's in the hazard, Bonte, and you can pick up your ball.
Might be the first white kid ever named Pookie.
Well, he's from Oakland.
Yeah, he's from Oakland. But it's, there's not too many white kids named Pookie.
Well, he's actually, Pac was his nickname.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That too.
He was always our little Pookie. Leave but when he went to write his name on his hat as an 8-year-old, he spelled it P-O-K-K.
Oh my
God. He became Pac. So all his friends, he's been Pac to all of his original grammar school friends. Probably at Chabot.
Chabot.
Lake Chabot.
Hey, those last couple of holes can be tough.
Yeah, we didn't even get to that. It was over by the time we got to the par 6.
Oh, he closed you out.
No, I closed him out in this time. But yeah, he's got me at least once now, because I've gotten a lot worse, and I don't even really play much anymore. Yeah. So, and he, you know, he's playing much more frequently. But Mark's right. You know, you want your kid to beat you, but you can't, like, let them. Oh,
it's got to be organic.
It's a 5-putt from the old man.
Don't let him.
No, never let him.
I mean, I used to get into this conversation, and it was really fun because Michael Thompson is Clay's dad. I mean, this guy has raised, thank you, he has raised technically 3 professional athletes, right? I know that, you know, his other son, Michael Thompson, I think, maybe had a cup of coffee in the NBA.
He won a G League championship.
Yeah, and then Trace is with the Dodgers right now, which I hate. But anyway, it was so fun to have this conversation with him, and he is offended by the idea of ever letting the kids win.
My dad's similar to that.
It is like, no. You build a good athlete by smashing them down every chance you get.
What's your thoughts on the Giants today? After that split against the Tigers.
Not good.
Well,
not good. It's frustrating right now.
He was waiting on that.
They should be better.
No, I want the Giants to win, but we're watching these games.
They should
Alex
be better.
Alex Smith goes into the 6th inning.
Well,
we know he's a 5-inning
elite
guy.
Elite managing by Gabe Kapler right there.
Just the most obvious.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being dead serious.
How so?
Because he told the rest of those pitchers, oh, yeah, you guys all want to pitch deeper into games? Okay. Okay, guys, watch this.
Oh, so you think he's playing chess?
He's absolutely playing chess. Alex, you want to keep pitching?
I don't think that. No, Gabe's
Detroit.
Gabe's not going to. No, he's not punching a game.
We've done this.
He's not punching a game to do this.
The 5th and 6th inning are devastating for Wood.
Look, we've seen it now a couple of times, and it is a very fine line to walk. You want your clubhouse to feel like you've got their back, and that yes, I see you, I hear you. It's like being a parent, right? But at the same time, if you're going to be based on math, and the math tells you the same damn thing every time, which is that going the third time through an order is very bad for a pitcher unless that pitcher is elite. If you're Justin Verlander, if you're Max Scherzer, your stuff is so damn good that, okay, we can play with this a little bit. But if it's not, the third time through the order is a bad mathematical play. And so when you let your pitcher, when you let him talk you into, hey, come on, I feel good, I got this, boom, you lose to the Tigers. I don't know.
Well,
like, that's a fine line to walk.
You contrast that, I guess that's more of a gut move than an analytics move. You contrast that with yanking Jock Peterson. Look, it's a simple at-bat. I'm not trying to make it like the end of the world. But like, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, if I'm in the other dugout and Jock's getting pinch hit for, I don't care what the stats tell me, because I know last year he was awesome pinch hitting Slater. You're taking Jock out? Thank you. The dugout for the other team is like, thank you for taking him out in that situation.
This is a fair conversation, at least for this year. I know it's sort of a small sample that it's not even half of a year, but Jock Peterson is hitting okay against lefties.
Yeah.
And Austin Slater, Austin Slater is very, very solid at what he does. I have no issues with Austin Slater. But if guys are showing you that they can do it from both sides of the plate or against both sides from the mound, that is, then do you want to give him a little bit more rope? I mean, look, the guy is going to start in the All-Star game.
That's what I'm saying.
He's going to start in the All-Star game.
And he can't hit against a lefty in the 16.
Just the Tigers, look, Andrew Chafin.
But that's the one where I'd say I'm going to give you some rope.
Right?
And now if you strike out 7 straight times, we're going back to Slater.
You can't love the spreadsheet in one setting and not love it in the other.
That's the contradiction.
But it's a fine line because he's also got to go run the clubhouse. Yeah. He's got to go face these guys.
So what happens with this team?
A good point.
Say if they're in the same position at the deadline. Deadline's August 2nd. You got Carlos Rodon with the player option. Brendan Belt on the expiring deal. Jock Peterson is on an expiring deal. What do you do if the Giants just say 3 back of the Cardinals for the last wild card spot and about 6 back of the Padres and Dodgers? What do they do at the deadline?
You add. You add. You're not in subtraction mode, I don't believe. And I think Rodon, he's got a player option.
Yep.
It seems like, and we had him on yesterday, seems pretty comfortable and happy in this situation. So
Gossman
I would love to have him back. Yeah,
he's
going to
opt out and get that new money, right?
They're not going to sell, if that's what you're asking.
Right.
That not would necessarily be, sell. I'm reluctant to make a big splash for a rental.
I don't know if there are any.
That's what will Contreras you know, I
keep
might cost
you. Maybe Contreras. Maybe, I know we
I'm
keep
throwing
we
one.
Keep talking about Soto. John Heyman was on with us yesterday,
like
and he brought up something that I hadn't
What's
even
that?
Thought of. He goes, "The Nationals are for sale. They're not going to trade Juan Soto
as a piece,
and then you've got a new owner that's to come in. That's a decision that's going to be left for new ownership, and it's not done yet. So, listen, Bonte, I'm with you on Juan Soto, but I don't think he's gettable.
Yeah, no. Well, Chris Rose just joined it today. He said they're not selling him now. I don't think he's. Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
Maybe next offseason.
Right. Yeah. I just look at it this year, and I don't believe they're quote unquote contenders. That doesn't mean that you just pack it up. Oh, you're not going to win a World Series. Nothing good can happen. Good thing can still happen. I'm just not trying to mortgage this future I've been so patient on for just a couple of rentals.
But I don't think the mortgage the future player is even out there and available, so they don't need
That's
to
fair.
Worry about it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there's nobody the top five players in your farm system. There's nobody out there that would make you even think about those players. So if they need to move the 11th guy in the farm system, then, you know, that's fine. I think they'll be active. I just don't think there's anything all that splashy.
And he's
out there.
The backfill master. Backfills Aidy.
Yeah,
he's not going to burn the top of the farm. He's going to continue to try to backfill this baby with your various no-names.
What do you guys have coming up?
Not a lot, Bonte. Thanks for asking. I mean, we're almost in July, right?
No, listen. I mean
we're talking about
talking
15 minutes on Taco Bell.
Hold on.
There's sitting coupons in my house, Dibley.
Look,
come on, man.
If you make an oversized Cheez-It, I would talk about that the day before the Super Bowl. I don't know about you guys.
I may have to try that.
That said,
extra toasty.
I mean, free agency starts in 5.5 hours.
Yeah, let's lock in.
Okay? Come on, man.
No, I'm just being serious.
It doesn't feel like there's going to be a lot happening.
No, I will say this. I tell you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.